This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, support us all the day long until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and all our work is done. Then in thy mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we left with 16. We came back with 16. Harold and Mary. They're driving in their brand new car, and Mary speaks up and says, "You know, Harold, if it weren't for my money, we probably wouldn't have this new car." Harold says nothing. They pull into their driveway, and Mary says, looking at their beautiful new house, "You know, Harold, if it weren't for my money, we wouldn't have this new house." Harold says nothing. They go inside that house, and Mary says, "All this beautiful furniture and this brand new beautiful plush carpet, you know, Harold, we wouldn't have this if it weren't for my money." Harold says nothing. They sit down in front of their brand new 70-inch widescreen HD TV with all the bells and whistles, and Mary says, "You know, Harold, if it weren't for my money, we wouldn't have this entertainment center." Harold has had enough. And he finally says, "You know, Mary, if it weren't for your money, I wouldn't be here either." Why are we here? Why do we come to this place or our own church homes week after week? It is the ultimate question that Jesus is asking of those people who have come seeking him. It is a question that I hope we have been able to answer, all 16 of us, in our own unique ways through this experience that we have had called pilgrimage. Jesus has just done the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, as you heard last week. 5,000, symbolizing the men, add up the women and the children, as Rev. Wendy mentioned last week, and it was probably 20,000 plus that he fed through a miracle. He had done all these other miracles as well. They don't know where he is, so they go seeking for him. They find him. Why? Because they want another show. Because they want to see this Cirque de Jesus do another wonderful thing. And Jesus uses the occasion to call them to think about, why are you here? What are the ultimate questions and the ultimate big picture issues with our life that you want to deal with? And as John's gospel is written towards those who already believe, to strengthen and challenge their faith, then that same question Jesus asks of us today. Why are we here? Why do we want to be here? Is it just about another mountaintop experience or another story we can walk away telling? Or is there something more to it? I hope there is. Jesus says today, "I am the bread of life." Now, this image of bread is throughout the Bible. I mean, the Jews end up where they are because there's a bread famine. The wheat wasn't growing in one area, so they end up where they are. Jesus, in his ministry, first thing the devil wants to tempt him, says, "Turn these stones into bread, Jesus." Jesus does this miracle with bread. We know about the disciples recognizing Jesus in the breaking of the bread. There's something about this bread imagery that is crucial for us. So let's look a little bit about Eucharist and pilgrimage. You know, those of you who have experienced the Seder know the symbolism that Jesus was getting at and fulfilling because it was the Passover meal. And at that Passover meal, as you might recall, there are four different cups that we drink. Let's look at those and how they might help us get in touch with why we are, or perhaps why we should be here. The first cup is the cup of blessing that we drink right at the beginning of the Seder. Now, this has to do with our gratitude. It has to do with our gratitude for all that we have and all that we are, acknowledging that it comes from God. And if we are able to start with that, if we just come here to just sit and to get in touch with the blessings God has given us, what a great reason for us to be here. Now, Jesus knows with those people as well as with us that we have to have our daily bread. After all, he gave us those words in the prayer he taught us. But he doesn't want us just to be caught up with the needs immediately that we have. He wants us to be concerned with the bigger picture as well. This is what we try to get in touch with on pilgrimage. We deal with those areas of our life that we really find obstacles and difficulties, but we find answers when we look at the big picture. I find it amazing in my own life when I'm so caught up in one particular issue. God, if you would only take care of this person or this relationship, or God, help me get over this particular obstacle, help me pay this bill, then everything's going to be okay. But what happens is, when I can take on an attitude of gratitude and think of the blessings God has given to me, it's amazing how those practical issues get taken care of. We as a group of 16 had some practical issues that we left from this altar wanting to resolve. And I tell you, when we got into the big picture stuff that we were doing, it went out the window. God took care of it. So maybe that's one reason why we should be here, is just to be grateful for what God has given to us. And out of that spirit of gratitude, miracles do flow. Brett Blair, a scripture professor who writes commentaries, writes this in regards to this passage with gratitude. He says, "Be thankful that you don't already have everything you want. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something. This gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge because it will build strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary because it means probably you've made a difference in someone's life." Cup of blessing, gratitude, reason enough to be here. Then there is the cup of memory. And we recall all of our past history, all of those times when we have gathered at this table or at any communion table in our lives. You know, it's in our catechism that when we celebrate Eucharist, we gather with the communion of saints, those whom we love, those whom we hurt, the living and the dead. They are all in some way here. And I think maybe this is part of what Jesus was getting at with the cup of memory. Not only do we remember Jesus at that Last Supper, but remember every time that we have been at this altar. In times of great distress, in times of great joy, in times of conflict, in times of a need for healing, in times of a death of a loved one, at Roslyn Chapel, at a field out in the middle of Lindisfarne Priory, at St. Paul's Abbey, talking to this congregation, being joined at the communion table in that way. What it does, it gets us in touch with our spiritual history. And in that cup of memory, we do remember. Reason enough to be here. Then thirdly, there's the cup of redemption. The cup of redemption where the Jewish people would remember what God had done in redeeming them out of slavery. And now for us, remembering what Jesus has done for us by redeeming us collectively through history, but each one of us individually through what Jesus has done for us. Reason enough to be here. But then there is this last one, the cup of hope and freedom. And here's where the table is turned a bit. It's not just about receiving the cup of hope and freedom. It's about us going out and living truly free lives by sharing our gifts with other people. You know, it's not just about the signs, if there's nothing that it leads to. The example I always use is, I'm sure you've gone through this in your family history, you start going up the turnpike or I-95 in the past, then you see this sign on the side of the road. Yeehaw Junction, 150 miles. And you drive 50 more miles. Yeehaw Junction, 100 miles. And on it goes, and you finally get to where Yeehaw Junction is, and you pull off. And if you've done it in recent times, you see that that whole tourist attraction with the discount, Disney tickets, and everything else is gone. It's all boarded up and fallen apart. It's now just a bunch of signs with leading to nothing. Well, the Eucharist for us is meant to be that which enables us to be strengthened to go out and use the gifts God has given us. So we remember our blessings and gratitude. We remember the personal history of how God has been at work with us, not only through Jesus in history, but in our personal lives. And then we are able to go out and use the gifts God has given us. Now, if you don't feel that, this is what I might offer perhaps is the issue. Maybe you're not using your gifts. Ephesians today has that wonderful, wonderful encouragement to us to, he says, to grow up. Guys, if there's one message that we can leave with you now, you got to grow up. And we all will in one way or the other, but what Paul is saying, you want to be fulfilled, then be fulfilled at the highest level. You know, if you've just eaten a huge turkey dinner on Thanksgiving, it's pretty hard to go out and eat another huge meal right on top of it, unless you go out and work off the food a little bit first, huh? Well, take that metaphor into the spiritual life. We are fed here spiritually, but if we don't go out and use the energy that we have been given to live fulfilling lives, helping others, well, if we haven't used it, we're going to come back in and we're not going to be very spiritually hungry. So if that's what you're feeling, maybe the reason you need to be here is to be encouraged to use the gifts God has given you. Now, I want to mention something especially to our pilgrimage youth. I don't choose these readings. They are given to us by the church. And I can't think of a more important and essential teaching for all of us
But listen to what Paul says. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. What you all have experienced is an incredible gift. And what we need to do with that gift is to realize what our faith can be. Those mountaintops you guys all shared when we did our highs every night were real. They are real. But you are going out into a world, and in a couple years you'll all be in college. And you will come across the majority of the world who will be trying to blow us about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery. People who will tell us that this Jesus thing is all a bunch of hooey. You know differently because you've experienced it. I want you to remember that. Remember who you are. And be strengthened as we all are meant to be strengthened. I want to share one story with you in closing that I think is the perfect conclusion to talking about Eucharist. Y'all know that I love to cook. These guys probably gained a few pounds on the pilgrimage, and it's all my fault, moms and dads. But we had fun doing it. I do that not just because we need to eat, but I do it because it helps us to build community. Not only as a group, but it helps us to build community with the people whom we are blessed to be with us as our angels. We have a tradition, the last night in Iona. Those of you who are on pilgrimage will remember this. Not only because we don't want to carry the food with us from Scotland all the way across the ways to England, but because we want to thank the people who have been a part of our life there. Special experience. So we invite everybody. We invite the people who clean up after us and clean the bathrooms and the toilets at the youth hostel. We invite the guy who is the sailboat captain. We invite people who just happen to be there who we've met along the way. And this year we had a table that went from the kitchen sink all the way to the picture window that looks out over the ocean. Huge festival, huh? We had, I'm not going to remember it all, chicken parmesan. We had baked eggplant. I had found out where to get venison, so we had roast venison. We had scrigno pasta with meat. We had grilled stuff, vegetables and such for the vegetarians. We had salad caprese. We had bruschetta. I don't know what else we have. Carta di musica. The whole counter is nothing but food everywhere you looked. Well, it was glorious. Two things happened. John McLean. John is the owner of the youth hostel. John very much kept to himself for, I'd say, the first 2 to 3 pilgrimages that we had done. Didn't really want to have anything to do with us. But over time, we have won his trust to such a point where John is with us as much as he can be. John got into a habit for the last 3 pilgrimages that he would stand up during this closing banquet and would read a poem that talks about a monk's reflection on being at Iona. This year, John wasn't going to read that poem. But what he did do is stand up and tell us about how he had been working in his earlier days in calligraphy, had spent 60 hours working on that particular poem, writing it out in beautiful calligraphy. And with his voice cracking a bit, trying to hold back, I think, his tears, he presented to St. Joseph's that calligraphied poem that he had spent so much time in writing. It wasn't a church Eucharist, but there was true Eucharist that took place at that moment. The second thing that happened was something that you guys probably aren't even aware of. We make all that food not only to show how grateful we are for their hospitality, but because we know there's going to be a lot left over, and those people who work at the youth hostel will have some incredible food to look forward to for the next few days. And so when we leave all this food in the fridge for them. They're incredibly grateful. At the time when we are getting on the airplane ready to come back home, there is a comment posted to our pilgrimage blog by Natalie. You all remember Natalie from the youth hostel? She's the one who swept up and cleaned the toilets after us. Natalie writes this. "Hello, Father Marty. I am writing to wish you a safe journey home for you and also thank you once again for your kindness and your meals so delicious. I also want to tell you that the spirit of sharing that you wanted as you spoke was perpetuated by Iona after your departure. Indeed, with the meals you have left us so generously, we were able to benefit more than 20 people during the weekend. You see, the weather was not very good, and our guests arrived very late, and the store was already closed. They were delighted, and thank you all." Now, can you imagine traveling as we traveled that incredible distance from Glasgow to Edinburgh to Oban to Mull, across the ferry, get to Iona, walk half an hour to the youth hostel, and then all the stores are closed and you got no food. And then to say, well, just open the fridge. And there is baked eggplant parmesan. There is chicken parmesan. There is roast venison. There is caprese salad. There is Ghirardelli brownies that were left over that we made. There's a miracle. We had no intention of being ministers to those people, but we were. If we can take what we've experienced, what we all have experienced, not only in these specific pilgrimages, but every day of our lives, if we can bring that to this table and realize the gifts that God has given to us, we truly are going to experience the bread of eternal life each and every day. May our prayer be that what the people said to Jesus. Jesus, give us this bread always because it's so good. Amen.